Before we start, what I'm sure is going to be a fascinating day's conversation, let me just ask you to let your eyes go all the way around this room and notice the people that you've met before, the ones you've never seen, people who might be exactly the person you need to meet today. And remember that never before in history has this group ever been together, and never again in history will it ever reassemble just this way. So this is a completely unique experience. And we all have a unique opportunity to find, if you will, all the hidden treasure sitting in this room. As you notice, I don't have a name tag, and part of that is because I don't know, I don't need to be tagged or something. But the other thing is that I find it's just wonderful to look at a group and say, every single person here is kind of like a treasure. Like when you were a kid, you went on a treasure hunt. And so for the course of the day, just consider yourself on a treasure hunt. We are not going to award prizes, but I guarantee you that sitting somewhere in this room is exactly the person you need to connect with today, or there may be several, around our theme. And that theme is creating and sustaining learning communities. It's about enabling groups of people to effectively and actively learn in very useful ways in our organizations. And so the bottom line is not so much about bodies of knowledge, I think, going into our head. And the bottom line is really about finding organizations that fully work, that learn to work, not just in terms of competitive advantage, not just in terms of bottom line results, although that's all important, but at a very fundamental and deep level work. Not only in terms of the tasks that they've set for themselves, but also in terms of work for the people who are there. It's my experience, if you will, that at the moment we have a massive outbreak of what I can only call soul pollution. I mean, I think there's a title for a book there, but I'm not going to write it. Maybe one of you will. And soul pollution for me is what happens when you find yourself in a hugely toxic environment where you've run just about as fast as you can run and there's still something nipping at your tail, where somehow the places of work become places of confinement instead of places of creativity, so that the learning, it seems to me, that we should be exploring, or how do we find ways to enable ourselves and our fellows to fully learn at a profoundly deep level about who we are, where we came from, where we're going, and what it's sort of like along the way. So I invite us all today to think about learning communities, sustaining them, but not just that we can do calculus better or program better or make a better widget, but at a much deeper level. How do we actually create the kind of nutrient environment in which each one of us and all of us together can function well and effectively as human beings? With strange things happening like real joy, laughter permitted, high play allowed, deep creativity that goes off the charts and out of the boxes. That for me is learning. And anything less than that is hardly worthwhile waking up for. Well, that's a fairly broad topic to say the least. But as I say, the resources for exploring that sit right here in this room, all 40 of us. 40 very deep, rich resources that are available to everybody who's here. But you might ask, how are we going to get from sort of here to there? How do we get from just the recitation of let's do learning communities at a deep level to actually getting something done? Well, as you may have suspicioned, we will use this funny stuff called open space. And when I tell you what it is, those of you who don't know, and I know a number of you do, I think we'll have a strong urge to come out and kick me. Because the simple truth of the matter is there is nothing new in open space. And furthermore, there's absolutely nothing that I will do with you that you can't do for yourselves, with your peers, colleagues, friends, neighbors. And the way it goes is very simple, which I'll explain in a minute. But if there's anybody here feeling slightly anxious, like, what possessed me to sign up for a full day of sitting, more or less, or at least at the beginning of it, sitting in a circle with 40-odd of my closest strangers and unknowns? And then if you're feeling that way at all, let me make you feel a little more uncomfortable and just point out that that wall over there is our agenda. And as you can plainly see, there's nothing on it. So if that thought has crossed your mind, I have a promise for you. And the promise is that within about 45 minutes or so, out of this group will come the insights and the ideas and, most importantly, the questions that will just make it possible for each one of us and all of us collectively to really explore the topic. So what's open space? Very simple. In a very few minutes, what I will do is ask each and every one of you who cares to, nobody has to identify any area or issue around our theme for which you have some real passion and are prepared to take responsibility. First off, the passion. Some people don't like to talk about passion. I do. It's kind of juicy. So this is not brainstorming. This is not thinking about some nice things that somebody else could do. This is the opportunity to think about what you really care about. So what is that issue? What is that question for which you have some real passion and are prepared to take personal responsibility? And personal responsibility means this. You will convene a session on that subject. And furthermore, hopefully, you will enable us to get the fruits of everybody's labor, dump it into a computer so we can all have some brief record of what it is we've done. So, any area or issue for which you have a real passion, not just an idle curiosity, and if you don't have any, don't worry about it. Come out here, and we can do it all at once. I love to get, particularly in a corporate environment, everybody's in their pinstripe suits. Take a piece of paper, magic marker, write it down shortly, no PhD dissertations, sign your name, stand up and say, my issue is, my name is, and you'll go over to that wall and you'll see some funny little post-its over there. Post-its have a time and a place. The place is designated by a letter, so in that corner of the room, A, B, C. I mean, this is rocket science, people, you have to understand. Put the post-it on your paper, the paper on the wall, and sit down. And we'll just keep going until we have nothing else to put up. And if it turns out that you have two things to put up, fine, take two pieces of paper. But just remember, even though open space is magic, or at least some people think so, you can't be in two places at the same time. So if you have two issues, you might be a little careful and make sure you schedule yourself at different times. So that's how it works. And as soon as we have got all the issues up, and we'll just sort of wait until they're all up there, and if there's none, there is no plan B. We'll just look at that wall for the rest of today. But as soon as those issues are up there, then what I'll do is ask you to go up to the wall, take a magic marker, pen, or whatever, sign up for the groups that you would like to participate in, and we're off and running. We will run three sessions during the course of the day. It's over at 4 o'clock. We will gather here again in a circle and just kind of see how we feel about the whole thing and share. Not report outs from the session. That's a waste of time. Besides, if everybody's done what their job, as it were, that'll all be reports. So, but how we feel about it. So that's 4. We should be out of here by 5. Open space, as open as it is, has in fact 4 principles and 1 law. And so let me briefly review those with you, and I think you'll find that this is much more about not things that you have to remember, but it's just kind of the way things are. And if things get a little pushed in the course of the day and you're feeling a little, I don't know, upended, simply remember the principles in the law and it'll all work out. But anyhow, the principles are as follows. First off, whoever comes are the right people. Now, that's about your group, but it's also about here, okay? By definition, whoever has come to this thing are exactly the right people, and I suppose equally they're the only ones here. But when it comes to your group, just know that whoever shows up, it may be one, it may be two, they're exactly the right people for you to carry on the kind of discussion you need about the issue you've raised. Why? Because they are the people who care about what you care about. Now, they're probably going to care about it in very different ways, and that's what makes it rich. But they care, and that makes them the right people. And of course, this raises the interesting possibility. Suppose nobody comes. Suppose you have a party and nobody shows. Well, it could be it was just the right idea at the wrong time. Or it could be that you are the only person in this entire group who is competent to deal with that issue. And I can speak strictly for myself. If you find yourself in a group and you're there, and that's it, I talk to myself a lot. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, but it's still true. Whoever comes is the right people, even if it's another one of my personalities. And what it really boils down to is that so many of us say things like, gee, if I only had time to think about what I really cared about. Well, folks, you have one whole day with an absolute blank wall and the opportunity to think about whatever it is you really care about. So, however it falls out, whoever comes is the right people, and second principle is whatever happens is the only thing that could have. This is all about those times we walk into a meeting with a full agenda that we have to get accomplished. And of course, virtually none of it gets accomplished. Then we walk out frustrated. But we lose sight of the one or two things that did get accomplished because we're so frustrated about what didn't get accomplished. Now, my experience is if you just concentrate on what is, it's usually more than enough. Gets rid of all of those could-have-beens, should-have-beens, might-have-beens. So whatever happens is the only thing that could have. And then we get to the third principle, and this one drives Western managers totally bananas. And the principle is, whenever it starts is the right time. Now, all the rest of the world understands that this is just the way things are, but somehow or other, we in the West have come to the conclusion that it has to start when we say so. But what this is really all about is inspired performance creativity, which happens when it's going to happen. Now, I understand that this is a truly evolved, highly innovative, powerful group. And, of course, if you have a meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning, creativity breaks out instantaneously at 10:02. Isn't that correct? Yes. But in the off chance that that doesn't happen, just remember, whenever it starts is the right time. And then the last principle is, when it's over, it's over. And this is all about those times when we might have a meeting, let's say it's scheduled from 2 until 4 in the afternoon. And we all get together, conversation starts, first 10 minutes, you've done everything useful that you can do. So then you spend the next hour and 50 minutes twiddling your thumbs, arguing about what it is you've already decided, and then you can have another meeting, right? In open space, don't waste your time. When it's over, it's over. Go do something else, enjoy the garden, the sun, have a cup of coffee, join another group, but don't sit there feeling miserable. It's corollary to that one, which is when it's not over, it's not over. And what that's all about is this is your day. This is your time, and it's your space. And if you'll notice that we have sort of broken things up into hour and a half segments, but if it turns out that everything's just really getting juicy, when it's supposed to be over, guess what? It's not over. Now, you may find you have to move a little bit because there's another group coming in, but Lord knows we got enough space to move in. So when it's over, it's over. When it's not over, it's not over. Oh, yes, and then we come to the law of 2 feet. Now, I always do a quick environmental scan to see that everybody came equipped this morning, and they all seem to have. If somebody shows up in wheelchairs or whatever, you change the words a little bit, but same idea. And the law of 2 feet is very simple, but this is the most complex part. What it says is, if at any time during our time together you find yourself in any situation where you're neither learning nor contributing, you do this hugely complex activity, you take one foot, you put it right straight ahead of the other, and you just keep on walking. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to say you're terrible. You just say, thank you very much. This is not what I had in mind, and go on your way. Now, the law of 2 feet does four, for me, very wonderful things. First off, it's absolutely death on egotists. Now, I know we don't have any of those in this room, but in the off chance that we do, you see what happens. You know the sort I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and you're going to sit there by God until I'm done, right? It's amazing what happens to people like that when half the room walks out. Just amazing. And as a matter of fact, just knowing that half the room, or indeed the whole room, could walk out is usually sufficient to keep them in line. So the first thing it does is it takes care of the egotist. The second thing it does is, and I think this is very important, it makes it exquisitely clear precisely who is responsible for the quality of your learning. If you're sitting someplace and some idiot is going through the same thing for the 99th time, which you weren't interested in the first place, and you're feeling miserable, guess who's keeping you there? So if you want to sit there and be miserable, please be my guest. But if you want to move, just follow your passion and get to where the action is, because it isn't happening there. So it takes care of your own responsibility and makes it clear. Then it does two other things, and I'm sure we'll find both of these creatures showing up. Creates two wonderful creatures, bumblebees and butterflies. Now, bumblebees are those sorts of people who are just kind of congenitally unable not to use the law of 2 feet. They just kind of buzz into groups and out of groups, and meeting managers scratch their heads and tear them out and their hair out because they seem to be messing things up, but they don't understand. See, bumblebees do in open space exactly what bumblebees do in nature. They cross-pollinate. They'll whip into one group and grab a little bit of something, and then they'll zing off over to another group, and, well, you start out with a half-baked idea here, and then all of a sudden you got another one, and the next thing you know, you got something that really works. So the law of 2 feet not only permits, but encourages bumblebees. And then the last one creature that's created is a butterfly. Now, butterflies are those folks who actually never quite make it into a session. If we were at a resort, you'd find them in the pool, the jacuzzi, at the bar, on the beach. Here, I'm sure we'll find them out in various rocks and things like that. And your first impression is, why did they even bother to come? But if you watch, you will see that they have a very important function. Butterflies in open space do exactly what butterflies do in nature. Just one thing only. They're beautiful. They just kind of sit down somewhere, and the next thing you know, somebody else just feels attracted to them and sits down next to them, and a conversation will start that never happened before and couldn't have happened otherwise. Anyhow, bumblebees and butterflies, those are the creatures of open space. And one last thing, it's sort of a, I don't know, a summary of all of it, if you will. Be prepared to be surprised. And I know that isn't grammatical, but not much else is in open space either, so that's okay. Whatever agenda that you might have come in with, just do yourself a big favor and trash it. Because what is possible out of this group so vastly exceeds any expectations that you might have had that your expectations can only be a limitation. So just be prepared to be surprised and be open to that sort of surprise. Well, I guess that's about it. Which means that, in fact, the space is open, and I invite you, each and every one of you who cares to, nobody has to identify any area or issue around our theme creating and sustaining learning communities, not just vaguely abstract intellectual learning communities, that's true, not just profit-oriented learning communities, that's fine, but communities that do all of the above and really go down to the deep parts of our human experience and enable us to enjoy our work, be fully creative, learn at the deepest possible level. Identify any kind of theme or issue or question. Questions are really important. Everybody's given us answers. It's nice to start with a question that you have real passion for. Write it down shortly. No PhD dissertations and no speeches. Sign your name to it. Stand up in front of the group and say, my issue is, my name is. Grab yourself a post-it, some masking tape, put it up on the wall, and sit down. And we'll just keep going until we have nothing else to put on the wall. Space is open, and it's up to you.